Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What is Moondog?
Moondog Makers and Bakers is not just a catering company. It's blending tradition with innovation and something familiar just done differently. To get a taste of what they're truly all about, you can order some awesome merch, crafted spice blends, or request catering for your very own event. MoondogMakersandBakers.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you on this Sunday night. We don't have a game to talk about, but we have games and polls to discuss. Well, not really, because as you guys know, the coaches poll anymore doesn't matter. The AP poll, while certainly a sign of things to possibly come, does not matter anymore. What matters is what happens on Tuesday, and more specifically, what happened on Saturday. Did Ole Miss get help this weekend in the bye week? Did their college football playoff chances improve after the results this weekend? So we'll go through a couple of the results. I think they got a little bit of help, and I think they got hurt. Hurt's a relative term. They got a little bit of help, and then they didn't get some help in others. So we'll talk about that. We'll get to your comments for the next 30, 45 minutes or so. Also, basketball won yesterday. I don't know how many of you actually watched it. With all due respect, there wasn't many of you there, so I don't know how many of you watched it on television, but that could end up being kind of a nice win for Chris Beard and the Ole Miss basketball team, so maybe we'll talk about that later, but more focused on football tonight on this edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. I'm really glad that you guys are here. If you have not subscribed already, I would invite you, please do so. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. I know that Friday's episode and this one to this point will not have been uploaded yet. There's been some issues, login issues with the host site where Super Talk hosts all of their podcasts. I have yet to get in with their support, their help people. That should happen tomorrow. They don't keep weekend hours. So hopefully sometime tomorrow, this will get uploaded in podcast form. But please, in the meantime, subscribe to it. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Like, subscribe, and all that on the video as well. If you're watching here on my channel or over on Super Talk's YouTube, I'm just glad that you guys are here in this edition of the Rebel Report, and all of them are presented by the Gregory Law Firm. No longer in Saltillo, Mississippi. He's in Fulton, but it doesn't matter really where he is. It's about where he can serve you, and it's in the entire state of Mississippi. If you're a small business owner and you may need some legal advice, or you might are interested in starting a small business and don't really know where to go, the Gregory Law Firm, DJ Gregory, has got you covered. Also, personal injury. If you've been personally injured and you don't know where to go, or don't think that somebody's out there that can help you, DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay, call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. So we did the, what games to watch for guide going into the weekend. So we'll kind of hyper-focus on those, although we did almost get an upset with Oregon and Wisconsin. And yes, I know Oregon's undefeated, but what you saw, again, even in that game, is how vulnerable everybody in college football is this year. There really is no truly dominating team. Like Oregon, clearly vulnerable. Ohio State, offensive line issues, struggle to run the football. Frankly, I know he had a good day, but I think they're kind of limited at quarterback. You can go down the list, and we can talk about all the ways that all of these teams are flawed. You saw some of that in Oregon this weekend, but them winning or losing impacts Ole Miss not at all. Texas-Arkansas could have, and it did not. Arkansas could not pull that win off. That could have helped Ole Miss in a couple of ways, of course. Arkansas could have really boosted Ole Miss's dominating win there from just a few weeks ago. And Texas's resume at the present is kind of a joke for an SEC team. They've played 10 games in the SEC, and their resume is – it's the worst among contenders in the league for sure. And that would have at least given Ole Miss a compelling case over Texas for sure. Neither of those happened, although, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched that game and came away thinking that Texas is anything other than a benefactor of schedule. I think Texas, among the contenders in the SEC, I mean, we're talking Alabama, Ole Miss, Georgia, even Tennessee. There's a real chance they lose to Texas A&M soon. I think Texas is behind on that tier. I don't think they're getting any better. I think offensive line plays an issue. I think Quinn Ewers is okay at best. Just not at all impressed with Texas. They've got some really good pieces defensively, but Ole Miss didn't get some help there, but Texas got exposed a little bit. At least I think they did, yet again, because I know Georgia already did that. So didn't get any help there. Kansas, BYU, that game helped Ole Miss, and here's why. I think, now we don't know for sure, of course, because the committee hasn't done this yet. I think that this is now, and a lot of people do, guaranteed that the Big 12 now is only a one-bid league, because there was a scenario in which BYU went 12-0, got to the Big 12 championship game, and lost to Colorado, and still made it. Would they have earned it? I don't think so, but you guys know as well as me that that would have been pushed, and they probably would have gotten in, and two Big 12 teams would have been a bid stealer for most likely the SEC or maybe Indiana, and more on that later if we have time, definitely later in the week for sure. But BYU losing that game, I think anyway, or at least it should, logic tells you that BYU losing that game should make the Big 12 a one-bid league. And we already know, or at least we think we know, that the ACC is also a one-bid league. There is nothing Miami or SMU can do when you're looking at it just from a logic perspective that says that they would deserve to get in the playoff with a loss in the ACC championship game. I think the same thing has happened in the Big 12. So kudos to Kansas for, I think, guaranteeing the Big 12 is a one-bid league. Tennessee, Georgia. Now, you know, as I told you guys, hey, that kind of talked me into thinking that Tennessee winning that game would have been better for Ole Miss, because if all goes normal, the SEC is very likely going to get four teams. Tennessee beating Georgia would have eliminated Georgia from being one of those four teams. Obviously, that didn't happen. Now, I was on the side of you want the Georgia win to look good and to continue to look good, and you should be in front of Georgia, because just 8 days ago, Ole Miss beat Georgia, not in a fluky way, not in any other way besides they were better. They were better on the lines of scrimmage. They were better at quarterback. They were better at the skill positions. They were better at everything. Ole Miss was better than Georgia. And just because they beat Tennessee doesn't change that fact. AP voters disagree. And so we'll see what the committee does on Tuesday. So there may very well have been some logic behind the idea that Ole Miss fans should have wanted Tennessee to beat Georgia. I mean, either way, I think all they have to do is win their next two games and they're in, but still, for the sake of conversation. Didn't get any help from Virginia. That was a long shot anyway. Notre Dame's got a chance to lose. I mean, it's Army, who's undefeated, and Southern Cal on the road. Notre Dame losing one of those two games would be massive for Ole Miss and whoever else, because it would get one of those bid stealers in Notre Dame out of there, because they're not surviving a second loss, with Northern Illinois being their other one. Boise State won. That's fine. You don't need multiple G5 teams getting in the mix here. And Missouri, South Carolina. Sorry, I had to scroll a little bit. Missouri, South Carolina is a game we talked about. That helped Ole Miss. That South Carolina win continues to look better and better and better. I saw the breakdown and OutKick that said Ole Miss only had one ranked win, and that's just, you know, objectively false. And South Carolina is going to be ranked somewhere in the top 20 after beating Missouri. What a hell of a football game that was, too, by the way. But that 24-point win for Ole Miss in Columbia continues to look better and better and better. So South Carolina, Lenora Sellers and Rocket Sanders on that final drive, I think, really helped boost Ole Miss's resume. That, in hindsight, is a really, really big win. for Ole Miss. And then finally, you got some help getting LSU out of there. Like I said, I know that Ole Miss lost in Baton Rouge, but I don't think a loss in Tiger Stadium in overtime is ever going to be considered a bad, quote-unquote, bad loss. And now the scenario that would send LSU to the SEC championship, it's over. That's gone. And so LSU is just kind of taken care of there. One fewer team vying for one of what I think is going to be four spots for the SEC. And Florida continuing to improve. If Ole Miss should take care of business on Saturday, that will look a little bit better than you thought it would about 6 weeks ago. So overall, they got some help against South Carolina, boosted them a little bit. Florida got LSU out of there. You got some help with the Big 12 becoming a one-bid league. The Georgia win looks better for sure, but I think the pollsters are not really doing any favors on that. And Texas could not get it done in Arkansas. So a bit of a mixed bag here. Ole Miss will move up inside of the top 10. They certainly should move up in front of Tennessee and BYU. So even if Georgia jumps Ole Miss should still move up a spot to number 10 at least. They should be 9, but we'll see. But either way, got a couple of losses in front of them, teams that should end up behind them, and college football takes care of itself. You have two more weeks of games and of losing to happen. If they take care of business, they will make it, especially because they did get a little bit of help this weekend. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. So if you're anywhere in this state and you need technology in the office, copiers and printers and mail machines, stuff like that, all the way up to cloud storage and data security, absms.com is the website. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. All right, let's get to the comments. Welcome in, Borky. Brandon, glad to see you, man. Glad to see you. Hope you had a good weekend. Just curious what the average ticket price is going to be on a playoff ticket. Frankly, I have no idea. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on the secondary market. I really hope that the schools or whoever's in charge of it does not try to screw over the season ticket holders. If you're a season ticket holder, you deserve the opportunity to go to the playoff game without having to, you know, choose between that and Christmas presents for your kids. The face value of the tickets should be affordable for season ticket holders. And I am not holding my breath on that, but that is what it should be. That would be the right thing to do. The fans deserve that. And if they try to price gouge you, that would be really, really pathetic. So I hope that's not the case. Secondary market, good luck. But for the season ticket holders, that they deserve a chance to have an economical playoff game. You'd say Ole Miss's chances improved some, especially with Georgia, Carolina, and Kansas winning. We'll see on Tuesday. Georgia jumps Ole Miss in the AP. Yeah, and you know what's funny about that? So Alabama's in front of Georgia, right? It's Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss. Alabama beat Georgia. Ole Miss beat Georgia. So if the head-to-head doesn't matter, right, if it's – if that's just not a thing, if we can just disregard it, then why is Alabama ahead of Georgia? Georgia's losses are to Ole Miss and the aforementioned Alabama, both on the road. Georgia's schedule is better. They also have a win over Tennessee. They've got a dominating win on the road at Texas. Their resume is better than that of Alabama's. So why is Alabama in front of Georgia? Oh, well, because they won the head-to-head. Okay. Well, then why is Georgia ahead of Ole Miss? It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. Watch the highlights. Basketball looked like they played much better. Yeah, I'm still concerned about size and physicality, but, I mean, They're going to look really good sometimes. It's a team that's going to be shot dependent. And I know, like, breaking news, more at 11, when you make shots, you win basketball games. But I don't think, at least right now, that this is a team that's going to be capable of winning ugly, if that makes sense, on a night when their shots aren't falling. I'm not totally convinced that they'll be able to, like, muscle and rebound and second chance points and stuff their way to wins. We'll see. But I think they're going to be a pretty shot dependent team. I think Ole Miss will be ranked 10th behind Georgia and above Tennessee and BYU. So we'll still be slotted the 11th seed. Do they have a shot to get Knight? You talking about the quarterback? I have not seen any movement on that. I know there's another blue chipper that's going to be visiting during the Egg Bowl, or at least that's what's scheduled. So I don't know. Recruiting changes all the time. It would be a good pickup if they can get him, certainly. I just when it comes to quarterbacks in particular, it's hard to know. Because, I mean, next year, obviously, he's not going to be playing for Ole Miss. And the year after probably won't either. So then, is he going to stick around? Is Maddox the guy who's older than him in the system already? Is he, you know, it's a lot, but we'll see. What are the chances that the College Football Playoff Committee puts Georgia and Tennessee ahead of Ole Miss? Well, Tennessee has no claim to be ahead of Ole Miss right now. They really don't, in my opinion. Ole Miss's resume is better by pretty much every measurable way. My guess is that they're going to put Georgia, it's going to be Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee would be my guess. If the Big 12 wasn't already a one bid league, BYU losing locked it. The title game could be Arizona State versus Colorado. Hey, Arizona State's playing really good football right now. Ole Miss's best wins are looking better. They spent the week rating the recruiting classes of their biggest rivals. Goodbye week. Yeah. It was a goodbye week on the recruiting trail. The flip announcement from Devin Harper, which, by the way, Ole Miss flipping blue chip offensive lineman from LSU, got a Louisiana blue chip offensive lineman flipped from LSU to Ole Miss. Do you understand how rare that is? How, like, impossible that feels? And they did it. But the timing of his announcement was diabolical. I mean, everybody knew it was going to happen before, but just waiting until they lost to Florida and watching Brian Kelly act the way he did on the sidelines before he flips was diabolical. Helmet bias is a real thing, and you're suffering with me as a Pels fan. Man, last night was so frustrating. I mean, you play such a good game. You have a bunch of guys that would never see 10 minutes in any other way, but you've been bitten by the injury bug so bad and you're beaten up on the Lakers and playing well, and then you just step all over your own 2 feet in the final minute and a half. Georgia-Tennessee went about how you thought it would. Ole Miss is a better team than Tennessee, and Georgia had a get-right game. I think Ole Miss is still better than both. The Ole Miss that's playing right now, yeah. Is Ole Miss still recruiting a Kylan Deere? I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. Shout out to South Carolina for winning the game of the weekend. Missouri showed a lot of fight with Cook back, but Carolina keeps their hot streak. That was a fun football game. Aesthetically unpleasing. Bad uniform matchup, but otherwise, yeah, that was – Sellers is getting better and better. South Carolina is going to be a force next year. I mean, I assume that because of the momentum that they have and the quarterback thing that they've got figured out, they should be pretty attractive in the portal. I wouldn't be surprised if South Carolina is like a preseason top 20 team next year, if they can hold on to Stewart especially, which I think they're going to. You know, it's an Ole Miss show, but Josh Hubbard is a different player than last year. He's more explosive driving the ball. He's special. He's absolutely special. And it seems like he's consistently making shots more so than he was last year. He's a little bit streaky at times. And I mean, he had a great season, so it's kind of a dumb thing to say, but I do think that he's a more consistent scorer so far this year. Should we be worried that Ole Miss had trouble punching the ball in against Georgia? Great between the 20s, and then stall could have been their own 52-17 type game. Maybe, but I do think on the final two possessions for Ole Miss that ended in field goals, they got conservative by design. Because you knew in that moment, your defense is not giving up multiple touchdowns. It's not happening. And so you could see it in the play calling, in red zone play calling, or cross the 50 play calling anyway, in each of their last two field goal possessions. You could tell it was like a, all right, bleed some clock, run the football, don't create a situation in which you can turn it over, where there could be a pick six or just a turnover. Just get points and you're going to win the game. Lane Kiffin game manages like an NFL coach. And he was given the opportunity to lean on defense, and you could tell that that was a concerted, just get points, take some time off the clock, and it won't matter kind of decision-making there. So, yes, generally speaking, they have not been good there, but those last two in particular, I think that was a product of a decision to not screw it up, because all they had to do was not screw it up, and they were going to win the game. It's not a single team that's not beatable. I agree. Oregon is really good, but was very human Saturday. Looked like Ole Miss playing Kentucky. Yeah, and Gabriel's been good, but I do think that they're – what is it? I mean, are they – I don't want to say weak. That's not the right phrase, but I do think like a physical defensive front like what Ole Miss has would really give them problems. What do I think the offense looks like with Trey Harris back in it? Has looked pretty good without him. So what are my thoughts with him back? Does the offense just get better or do they revert? That's a big question. It's also a big question whether or not Trey will be able to come back and be healthy enough to give them 60 snaps or whatever. But you would like to believe that what they have done lately is what they will continue to do even with Trey Harris. But yeah, I mean, there's a clear difference in how the offense has done in his absence. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're protecting much better. But it does seem like Jackson Dart's been more deliberate with where he's going with the football. And Kiffin / Weiss Jr. called a great game against Georgia. I mean, I know like they only scored 28 points on that defense, but they called a great game. And whatever got into them in each of the last couple of weeks, and, you know, the Arkansas thing was more Jordan Watkins just dominating, winning one-on-one matchups. But, I mean, I think that can be replicated with Trey Harris back in. It should be, especially now with the way they're protecting. What you hope is Jackson Dart doesn't immediately become laser-focused on just getting Trey Harris the football because he's the best receiver. Tennessee's ground game is good, but it's clear the offense is very limited. Has been basically all season. Won't get them far if the defense can't be dominant. Georgia did a good job in protection, too, didn't they? You think Texas is soft and should be out of the playoff at 10-2? I agree, but here's the problem. Then does Texas A&M jump Ole Miss with a win over Texas? I don't think they should. But do they? Are you the only one who's not thinking much differently about Florida, even with them beating LSU? It was already a must-win game, and Ole Miss matches up well. No, I don't look at it any different. The only thing that changes that game is Lagway's health, right? If it was the Joker that played against Texas, well, then Ole Miss would have won the same way Texas did, if not more. No, Lagway's going to present some problems. They're playing confident football, for sure. But LSU was on the field for... what was it, 42 and a half minutes? They just couldn't punt. They just couldn't score. But they had the ball forever. And if Florida's going to – yeah, I think that Ole Miss matches up well here, especially because that front six travels, right? It really does. But Florida's confident. They're improving. Now – They just had to play a game where their defense was on the field for 90 snaps. Pretty emotional win. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be difficult, but if Ole Miss plays their A game, they have absolutely nothing to worry about. I mean, truly, if they show up and play well, Florida cannot beat them. The only way that Ole Miss loses that game is if they show up and play the way they did against Kentucky or LSU. If they have mental mistakes, if they turn the football over, if they miss field goals, if they drop passes, that's the kind of stuff that they haven't done last week. They didn't do that in the Georgia game. How many busted coverages were there? There were almost three penalties, none of which on the offense. It was raining like hell, and was there a dropped pass? I don't remember if there was. Obviously didn't miss a field goal. If they just play clean football, they're going in there and winning. That Florida cannot beat Ole Miss when Ole Miss plays to the best of their capability. LSU, on the other hand, is completely unraveled. Great look for Brian Kelly. They should be 4-5 if it wasn't for the refs at Carolina and Ole Miss beating themselves. They are very lucky that they don't have a losing record as of this moment. Very, very, very lucky. And I remember when a certain someone on Sports Talk Mississippi was shouted down by the other two because he said that Brian Kelly is the most overrated coach in college football. He's good. He's not great. And he never has been. And he's coached at Notre Dame and now LSU. The most overrated coach in college football. And I remember when I said that, I was told that I was crazy. And it was eye rolls. And no, I was right. Ball knower, me. Anyway, if Army and Boise State went out, there's a chance the Big 12 is a zero-bid league, and it's possible that Army and Boise get a bye. I don't think the Big 12 would be a zero-bid league in that scenario. There's a better chance that Boise would get left out because Army would be undefeated. Boise's best resume line right now is a loss. That is their best resume line, is they played Oregon close. Army would have been undefeated with a win over Notre Dame. So, no, I don't think they both would get in. I truly don't. I think Army would pass them, and they would just be barely on the outside looking in, would Boise State. They would not have earned it at that point. Again, their best resume line would be a loss. That doesn't deserve an at-large bid in the 12-team playoff. You saw Fowler and Kirk say on the broadcast that last week Georgia was having an outlier fluke game. I've seen that more and more and knew this narrative would start eventually. What garbage that is. It's just absolute garbage. But it's the helmet. It's the helmet. It's garbage. Lenore Sellers is going to be a major problem going forward. He's gotten better and better, and he's just a freshman. And his size with his breakaway speed is special. Pat, the only way that makes sense is if you consider the helmets. If the helmets were reversed, would the same thing have happened? The answer is no. Line came out, Ole Miss -9.5 at Florida. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. The SEC should go back to divisions. They will not, but they will go to 9 conference games, and that will help a lot of this. Helmet bias, yes. You think Alabama is going to win the SEC regardless of who they face in Atlanta? It's hard to argue with that. Ole Miss is 2 spots behind Georgia. They are not. They're just 1 spot behind Georgia. I still think the second part of your message is accurate. I think it's BS, but Ole Miss has the single best win of any team in the conference. Texas is benefiting from a soft schedule. Beating Georgia the way they did is the single most impressive. Georgia beat Texas, my friend. Georgia lost to Alabama. Georgia beat Texas. That is Texas's only loss. What do I think the score will be Saturday? 42-24. We'll go with that for right now. Can't ignore the hot streak. The recruiting is on. I expect that to continue. Frankly, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Tennessee beat Alabama, so Tennessee should be over Alabama. Then Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia conundrum leaves the head-to-head argument moot, but yes, Georgia should be ahead of Alabama and Ole Miss because of strength of schedule. I don't agree. I do not agree at all. But I'm glad you're here and respect your opinion. I do not think Georgia should be ahead of the two teams that beat them. I don't agree with that at all. Especially when all of their records are the same. Tennessee fans are salty about this weekend, as you might expect. Whew, yeah. Yeah, they are. Just wait until Vanderbilt beats them. What are the chances Walker Howard returns to Ole Miss next season? I mean, most people think it's a foregone conclusion that he transfers. I have actually heard otherwise, but who knows for sure? Who knows? Shane Beamer has proved me wrong. Me too. And I like him. He seems genuine. And like, what I like about him is he's pro fan. And you guys know me. I talk about that probably too much, but Shane Beamer's pro fan. He has great perspective of who's actually paying the bills and understands that. And I really like that about him. Need to be locked in the next 2 weeks. Florida can absolutely beat them. I'm sure the football team is. There's nothing that you guys can say here in this chat or that I will say on the radio show that will impact the outcome of the game one way or another. But, I mean, if we're being honest, if Florida does not have their full attention regardless of the LSU result, then they weren't going to win and make the playoff anyway. They know what's at stake, and there's no possible way that they could look ahead. There's no way. Napier's going to get a lot of goodwill back by beating LSU and Florida State and potentially winning a bowl game. 100%. Absolutely. Lagway returning as well. At least I think so. You mean like how all we had to do at LSU was not turn the ball over right before they turned the ball over and gave LSU their last drive that tied the game? I mean, it's a dozen little things. It's don't fumble right before the half with 20 seconds to go when he could have been taking knees and LSU gets the ball back and kicks a field goal. It's so many of those. Saw Wisconsin fired Phil Longo. Great move. Fickell hiring that clown. Wisconsin should have never gotten away from what their brand was. Should have never gotten away from what their brand was, which is great offensive line, run the football, great defense. That can make them a playoff team, what, 2 out of 4 years? I mean, you win 10 games at Wisconsin, you're making the playoff. And they can do that half the time, certainly. Call me crazy, but I think Oklahoma may just give Bama a game. Probably wishful thinking, but stranger things have happened this season. Their defense is good enough to keep them in it, at least. Certainly good enough to keep them in it. I hate to tell you guys, but you should be big, big, big Auburn fans next couple of weeks. I know how hard rooting for Hugh Freeze is around here. I can't get comfortable, by the way. Constantly moving. I know how hard rooting for Hugh Freeze is, but what a classic letdown spot Texas A&M could be in this week, by the way. I mean, you have your renewal of your massive rivalry 1 week away, and you're playing at night in Jordan-Hare. That is a look-ahead spot if I've ever heard one. The Wake Forest game was a good example of how they utilize weapons in the game. It's a good one for sure. You drove from New Jersey to see the Georgia game, worth the 18 hours. Wow. Not going to lie, a little worried about a letdown in the swamp. Boys need to be dialed in. If it was a game that was being played, you know, a week after the Georgia game, I could see that. But the bye week was that came at a good time for them, or at least it should have anyway, to kind of recenter them and focus on what's ahead. A 10-3 Texas A&M with an SEC title loss would be interesting. I think that they would get in at that point. The committee has already said that they don't want to punish teams for making their conference championship, but we'll see. Florida beat LSU with explosive plays and destroying LSU's pass protection. Yeah, LSU had a couple of linemen out. That certainly helped. had LSU 8-4. Looks like that's where they'll finish. You and I were in pretty lockstep on that one, if I remember correctly. Who do they got this weekend? Or do they have this weekend? They probably have one of those BS. Oh, no, they have Vanderbilt. Ooh, look out. Look out. LSU is now out of it. You could have quit alert. You know Clark Lee's guys aren't quitting. Look out. Watch out for Tulane. Yeah, that's another one that could sneak up quickly. Rebels are in for a fight on Saturday. Hope they're locked in because Lagway can sling it. Also, LSU looks completely checked out in the swamp. BK quickly on the hot seat. He goes into next year on it for sure. It's very good that he has a gigantic contract, though, isn't it? Ole Miss can only host if five of these teams are ranked higher. Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, Indiana. So, I mean, what is Penn State's resume? What's their best win? Penn State being ranked where they are is a little goofy to me. I mean, what have they done to earn that? What's their best win? Let's see. Who are they playing this weekend? I bet it's a joke. You ready? Oh, they're at Minnesota. Look out. But let's see. Penn State's best win. They're ranked number four right now. Maybe at Wisconsin. West Virginia. And they lost at home to the one decent team they played. You just don't think Florida can do what they did to LSU and Ole Miss? I agree. Well, how everyone has suddenly forgotten what Ole Miss did just 1 week ago. I mean, each of the last 3 weeks, you know? I mean, it's not even just a week ago. Boise could be ranked higher than Colorado or BYU, which would make them one of the five highest-ranked conference champions. Big 12 wouldn't have one of the five. I understand that, but if I don't think that Boise State will stay ahead of the Big 12 champion. I don't think so. I could be wrong. I truly do not think that they will stay ranked ahead of them. Join late. Just want to let you know. Look forward to these streams and never miss one. Always. Thanks, Adam. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. With all respect to Mississippi State, this Florida game is the last hurdle before the playoff. They'll be locked in. Yes. I mean, that you guys think that Ole Miss can't run the football because they can't really? Wait until they play Mississippi State. You say Walker Howard has already been tampered with by brother Hugh. Howard will be in Auburn next year. Well, Hugh's tampering with everybody, and he's done that 2 years in a row and still can't get a decent quarterback to play for him. So just because it's happening doesn't mean he's going to go. But also, I mean, wouldn't that be very typical Hugh Freeze is going after Ole Miss's third-string quarterback, and that's going to be his savior? Good luck. I believe five of the teams that Colorado has played are 500 or below this season. Why are they getting so much praise? Because they're winning. And, you know, they have an electrifying player, and a lot of people in media really – I mean, Coach Prime gets engagement, but, I mean, they're winning. They're winning a lot of games. They're playing well, and they're not just winning. Like, their game control has been good lately. Imagine Ole Miss hosting a playoff game and then playing Ohio State / Oregon in the Rose Bowl would be a sight to behold. They would beat Ohio State right now. There's your take of the day. The Ole Miss that has been playing lately is better than the Ohio State that's been playing lately. For sure. For sure. Ohio State's offensive line's a mess right now. And they haven't played that front six. Worries about being flat following the bye? Oh, very little. Very little. Are we sure that Notre Dame's just going to waltz into the playoff? USC could beat them. Absolutely they could, and I hope they do. I hope Army does. big America guy here. How big of a letdown spot is Florida for is Ole Miss for Florida? Could be tough to come down from that high a little bit, I guess, but Florida State's so bad. And I mean, they can really ill afford to get ahead of themselves in anything. Cheer for LSU over Vandy. Why is that? I mean, I guess Vandy would make Alabama's loss look better. That game might not make much of a difference there. Penn State's the biggest joke in the country. Their best win is Illinois. Didn't Illinois fall out of, I mean, what are they now? I know they were ranked at one point. Oh, they're 7-3. Okay, no, I'll give them that. And they beat Michigan State this weekend. Yeah, that's Penn State's best win, is Illinois. Who lost to Oregon by 29 and Minnesota by 8. But, yeah. I guess that's it. Almost at 9 is really the 11 seed. Yep. Whoever draws Penn State should throw a parade. Or Indiana if they make it. LSU had running lanes on Florida. Look to see if Ole Miss can get a ground game going. I'm certain they're going to try. You were rooting for Florida on Saturday? I kind of was too. Travis Hunter is legit, one of the best players in college football. No issue if he wins the Heisman. Dart deserves an invite, though. Yeah, he would be my vote because it's the most outstanding player in college football. Jackson Dart's numbers are very, very good. Now, he had the stretch of poor play in those 3 weeks, but even the numbers in those games are still, like, not bad, right? Has not turned the football over. His numbers are a lot better than Dylan Gabriel's, but Gabriel's team is undefeated, so watch, he'll get the nod. I mean, people are going to stand for Cam Ward, but who's Cam Ward's best win? What is his best performance this year? The Hail Mary to beat Virginia Tech at home? Hunter deserves the Heisman. Yep. The bye coming this week was an excellent spot. They lobbied for getting this game at noon like we discussed in the offseason. Yep. Penn State is the same exact team as last season. I think they might even be worse. Don't think Indiana's making the playoffs if they lose to Ohio State. Yeah, root for Ohio State hard this weekend. Ohio State, just blow out Indiana. Just get them out. Also, why should any SEC team schedule anyone in the non-conference? Obviously, it doesn't matter, like Michigan last year. I mean, you're starting to see games get canceled for a reason, aren't you? So, yeah. Good stuff, guys. We'll be back on Tuesday, so we'll get the rankings on Tuesday, and we will have a lot to talk about on Tuesday. Should the Big 12 get an auto bid if we're being honest? No, there should be no auto bids if we're being honest. There shouldn't be any. The ACC does not deserve an automatic bid. Like, I'm less worried about the Big 12 than I am the ACC. Hope they're not overlooking the trip to the swamp. Now, I mean, again, if they happen to be overlooking this, then it doesn't matter. Then they don't deserve to make the playoffs if they are not looking at this game with intent. I'd be shocked beyond measure if they are overlooking this game at all. That would be malpractice. So, and yeah, it'll keep working itself out. It always does. But come Tuesday, we will have some we will have the rankings to discuss. How about that? Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, we'll be back live after the rankings get released, 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. I'll see you then. You guys are the best as always, and I'll talk to you then.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.